Attention, please. Hello, if I can have your attention. We'll bring the meeting to order. It is September 25th, 2006. Let the record show that all council members are present, and we'll begin our meeting with a moment of silence. Thank you. We have some special guests here tonight for a special presentation, so I'm going to ask the youth who were partly responsible for our no smoking beaches to please come forward and lead us in the pledge tonight. If you'll just come up to the podium here, and then after the pledge, please stay there and I'll come down and meet you. Right there, that's good. Okay, you start.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I got a notice that the Tobacco Control Coalition has nominated the Morro Bay City Council and the Estero Bay Youth Coalition to receive a California Clean Air Project Award. This nomination stems from the hard work and dedication of the youth and city council in passing the first ever smoke-free beach ordinance in San Luis Obispo County. We'd like to invite the Estero Bay Youth Coalition to this meeting to receive their certificate from the
program, such as the American Lung Association. And currently, we in public health have witnessed a remarkable change in the landscape of California pertaining to tobacco use, secondhand smoke exposure, and the number of local policies being passed, implemented, and enforced in local communities, such as Morro Bay. It is because of the courage and commitment of city council members such as yourselves that have made these changes reality. Morro Bay is one of the most beautiful cities in California, and now you have made it one of the safest. The city of Morro Bay is the second recipient of the California Clean Air Award, recognizing excellence in smoke-free beaches. I would also like to recognize the work of the San Luis Obispo County Public Health Tobacco and Control Program led by Susan Hughes and Trina Long. Before I present this plaque to the City Council, I would like to recognize some of the finest youth in Morro Bay who were advocates in the passage of smoke-free beaches. The Estero Bay Youth Coalition were instrumental in the passage of smoke-free beaches in Morro Bay. Therefore, we would like to take the time to recognize them. They will each receive a certificate of acknowledgement for their tireless efforts in passing the first smoke-free beach ordinance in San Luis Obispo County. And three of them are here. We have Alex Britton, we have Abby Lanini, and Cordelia Boyce. Okay, and then some other advocates were also Jordan Smith, Philip Nordis, Emily Gacod, Kendall Schemmer, Samantha Eberlein, Vicente Flores, Gwen Birch, Chasey Todd, Jennifer Bresca, Chantel Burns, Casey Chafee, and Shannon Durham. So that's, a lot. So now may I ask Mayor Peters and the Estero Bay Youth Coalition to please receive your awards with our thanks.
Okay, ready?
Okay, continuing presentation.
The fire chief with some communication devices, and now we're completing the number, and we have five more to give. You will only see three right now because two have already been given to the Chief Pond. And I want to thank Coastal Electronics and John Weiss for facilitating the process of ordering them, and also to Bill Pierce for saving us the time by programming them, saving time and cost. And if anybody wants to be a friend of the Morro Bay Fire Department, you can contact Keith, who's the president, at 772-2852. I had to have a plug-in for the friends of the fire department. Okay. Chief Pond.
I just want to say that beyond on behalf of the fire department, the city of Morro Bay, we really appreciate the efforts of the friends of the Morro Bay Fire Department, and you and Betty and Keith especially. They realized last week that the five radios we received from LS Power weren't quite enough and that our pagers were still failing at a pretty rapid rate, and so they bought the additional five that we needed with their own funds out of the friends of the fire department. So thank you very much.
Okay, we were going to give Sarah McCandless her certificate, but she hasn't arrived, so if she does later, we'll do that later on. Okay, other announcements. Rick, report on the Ocean Conference that you attended in Long Beach, please.
Yeah, good evening, Mayor and Council. Every 5 years since 96, so this will be the third one, the California Resources Agency has been holding a Oceans Conference. The wide-ranging subjects all to do with coastal resource management in California. There's a lot going on with coastal management issues right now. Last year, the legislature passed the Ocean Protection Act, created the Ocean Protection Council. There is a draft strategic plan out, a five-year strategic plan that is being put forward by the Ocean Protection Council to cover all of the ocean management issues in the state, the water quality, fishing, preservation of coastal resources, public access, the whole gamut. That's the background for the conference that was held last week in Long Beach. Over 1,000 attendees, California and the world's ocean, one of about 48 total, I think, or something like that, on commercial fishing heritage harbors and whether commercial fishing heritage harbors have a future in California. And I think the panel was a success. On the panel were the harbor director from Humboldt, Bay Harbor Recreation Conservation District in Ventura, manager of a woman-owned business in fishing, State Fish in San Pedro, one of the largest fish buyers, myself representing the city of Morro Bay, and I'm drawn by Rod Fujita of Environmental Defense and Zeke Grader of Pacific Coast Fisheries and Federation of Fisheries Association. So it was a good balanced discussion, and we were able to talk about some of our concerns with commercial fishing and preservation of fishing heritage and working waterfronts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for representing us down there. Okay, other announcements, Thad? Betty? Go.
I have one. It's actually not an announcement as much as it's a correction. You may have noticed in one of the local papers Thursday, an editorial, I think it's entitled Listen Up, where the city was taken to task for failing to act to keep the restrooms at Tidelands Park open for large events like the 4th of July. And the article is rather large and is rather angry. And I just want the reporter to know, and as well as you folks at home and in the audience, we've already done that. Apparently the reporter missed it, but we acted. What was it, last council meeting or the one before?
Yeah.
Last one. We voted to keep the restrooms open, but the reporter apparently didn't catch that. So it's already been done, so kindly disregard what you read. It was not accurate.
Melody?
I'm going to give mine in date order, and obviously the most important one to me tonight is probably the New Futures Community Workshop. This flyer is around town in all the coffee shops, laundromats, at the Albertsons store. 11 to 3 o'clock on this Saturday at the Community Center, we will have lots of stakeholders there, including the people who are running the power plant. We'll be in the room to talk with citizens about different alternatives and site plans for down the different kinds of scenarios that could happen down at the power plant. And what I wanted to make really clear about this workshop is it will not be about the talk, it will not be like the talk about the Bay meeting. There will be no speeches, no sitting in an audience listening to somebody. Don't take down all those stacks, put elevators in them, and sell tickets to people, and they can go up to the top and go out on a landing that you would create at the top because there's an incredible view. Well, there is an incredible view, but I don't want to ride up inside of one of those stacks. But somebody might, and that's why we're having the workshop. Then the next weekend, as you all know, if you live in Morro Bay, we are having Harbor Festival. And as you all know, Harbor Festival is coming back from, you know, zero balance to really great financial health right now. But they need our support. So I want to tell you that I went and bought my tickets for Saturday and Sunday, because you can go down to Vons or Albertsons and buy them for $6 rather than pay $8 at the door. So I would urge all of council to have your tickets right away. All the staff wants to get a $6 ticket at Vons. All that money, none of it goes through Vons or Albertsons. It all goes into an envelope at the checkout stand, and that all goes back to Harbor Festival. And then finally, on the overhead there, I have an ad that was published in the local papers. This is what we call legal noticing. A month ahead of the event, there will be a more serious event happening regarding the Morro Bay Power Plant modernization. Apparently, since a new modernized power plant down there would produce more PM10s, and this has been widely accepted by all the experts, but these are particulate matters. Since it will be producing more particulate matters, they've had a lot of feedback from local people here, the Environmental Protection Agency will hold a public hearing on October 24th. That will be here at the Vets Hall. And that, I suspect, will have a limit on how much you can say. But certainly, I think it would be wise to be informed about any new power plant scenarios down there and what kind of PM10s they might be releasing. So those three events, with really the community workshop being the most favored one.
Okay. And I had one other announcement, and that's I've gotten several comments this week about our View Protection Committee and a misunderstanding apparently of what's happening there. The impression that's out there is that the council or some of us are advocating a view protection ordinance, and I wanted to make sure that everyone understands that that's not what's happening. We have an ad hoc committee that is exploring the option of view protection ordinances and how they're working in other cities or not working, and those meetings are public. The next one is going to be on October 10th at 5 o'clock in the Community Center studio, and you are welcome to attend and hear exactly what's going on. If such a thing were to be suggested,
legal dispute between the city and Mr. Coral to the satisfaction of both parties. Other than that, no other action was taken.
Okay, thank you. And now it is public comment period. Please step forward, limit your comments to 3 minutes, and we'd like to hear from you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Keith Taylor, resident of Morro Bay, friend of the Morro Bay Fire Department. On Saturday, October 28th, from 11 to 2, we're having a free barbecue, open house. We're going to have a helicopter drop if everything works out, and some other safety measures, and it's all the public's invited. It's hot dogs, we have water, chips, and the world-famous cupcakes that I never seem to get from Grace Paletti and Betty Forsyth. So I invite everyone to come. It's really a great thing. You see all about your fire department. And that's all I say. Thanks.
Thank you.
Honorable Mayor, Council, staff, friends, and friends at home, I'm Joey Ricano with the Ocean Outfall Group. I'd like to take a moment to thank Mr. Algert for his report on the World Oceans Conference. It was nice to see him down there. As he said, he was working on coastal issues, and as well as was I. This was an unprecedented meeting. I'm not sure that we got that point across. There were people from all over the world there, and they were very concerned about the plight of our oceans, which, make no mistake, are dying. That is not Chicken Little saying that the sky is falling. These are the facts, cold and hard. However, I'm not here because I think I'm going to let it die. I'm here because I think we're going to save it, and I think we're going to do the right thing. However, in Morro Bay, we're not doing the right thing. I would urge the people at home to understand the ramifications of some of the decisions that are being made by their elected officials, such as when we voted to allow a 50-year outfall lease renewal when we didn't even know who had yet bought the plant. But now we know who bought the plant, the people that basically were the engineers that blew up Chernobyl. So that may sound like science fiction, but no, that's actually not far from the truth. As far as the irony of having Clean Air Awards here, I love the kids. I'm glad that they're on point because I had talked with Linda Adams at the World Oceans Conference. She's the top person in the resources agency underneath Arnold Schwarzenegger. You wouldn't even believe what she was talking to me about. It was really interesting. I suspect it may be news eventually. The last thing I want to say is that Arnold Schwarzenegger signed AB 2701. That's the legislation that I came here and said that someday would be a reality with the help of Sam Blakesley. Well, it's a reality now. And now we've got the tools we need to move ahead with a regional, full tertiary, watershed-wide plan. That's going to be the law after November 3rd anyway, to have watershed-wide waste discharge requirements. So I urge the City Council to be proactive in working with the Board of Supervisors now, because they need your input. We all know that a watershed-wide approach is the way to go. I thank you for this opportunity to address you.
Thank you.
How do I get the flyer to be shown?
Yes. They'll switch to it.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah. AGP, if you could switch to the flyer while she's speaking. There we go.
Good evening. My name is Susan Heineman. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. Mayor Peters, City Council members, citizens of Morro Bay. As I am sure you well know, election time is upon us. First of all, I would like to invite all of you this coming Thursday to Rose's Landing from 9 to 11 a.m. to listen to an open forum about a discussion of the city, of the affairs of the city of Morro Bay and the business communities. If you have been reading the Bay News, you will know these are very informative meetings and never dull. Secondly, I would like to invite you to the AAUW-sponsored League of Women Voters Forum. This Friday night at the United Methodist Church in North Morro Bay on Hemlock and Sequoia. Bruce Gibson and Roger Anderson will both be there to answer your questions. The event will be filmed by AGP Video and shown on Channel 20 and 21 and slowspan.org. Thirdly, I would like...
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kathy Novak, and I'm here this evening to represent the Central Coast Natural History Association. We are celebrating 30 years of creating a passion for education in our state parks, like in areas like the Museum of Natural History, Splinter's Ranch House at Montana de Oro, the Pismo Nature Center, and the Monarch Butterfly Grove, and many more. To help with this celebration, the Natural History Association has developed a passport to adventure, one of these. This passport will guide you through the exploration of nooks and crannies in our Central Coast State Parks. All you have to do to pick one of these passports up is go to one of the four locations I just mentioned, or you can call us at 772-2694. Once you have your passport in hand, visit the four main sites and receive a stamp in your book. Then you will receive a novice-level prize. If you wish to continue, there's 30 questions in the book on the other areas in the state parks, and you answer these questions and then turn your book in, you'll get a commemorative coin. You'll also be entered in a drawing to win cash prizes. The grand prize is $1,000. I brought passports for you this evening. I have some more in the rear, and I hope to see you around the state parks with your passports. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Mayor, Honorable Council, Bill Woodson, resident of Morro Bay. In the August 9th issue of the Sun Bulletin, there was an article by Dick Weiss that writes on Cayucas. And he writes about how the Cayucas Citizens Advisory Council voted on two issues, which I think are very important as well to this council and Morro Bay. And I hope Morro Bay City Council takes the same actions that the Cayucas Citizens Advisory Council took. Let me read a little bit of the article. The Cayucas Citizens Advisory Council voted 10-1 last week to support the Pathway Project beginning at Yerba Buena in Morro Bay. The path will possibly go as far north as to the south end of Pacific Avenue or the cemetery in Cayucas. That's the first thing they voted. The second thing they voted was the council also voted by the same margin to recommend the county planning department to have the path placed on the ocean side of Highway 1. The path would vary from 8 to 10, 12 feet in width and require approvals by the county Caltrans byways grant. So I hope that you enforce our end of this path as Cayucas has done their end of the path. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Peters, council members, and city staff, Nellie Moje, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I want to speak about County Measure J that all voters will be voting on November 7th. Measure J is sometimes called the Delidio Project. It's a piece of farmland that is in the city of Slo, but actually in the county. As voters, we are being asked to make a decision about the process of how a project gets approved for this piece of land and ultimately for other pieces of land. The job for us voters is not to get wowed by the project, but to focus on the process. This story pretty well illustrates the point. Imagine a couple owns a condo in Morro Bay and wants to convert their condo into a retail store. They are approached by Ross, who is ready to make it happen. Of course, the condo is zoned for condos, but never mind. The owner says that they are surrounded by gas stations and restaurants. Why can't they change their zoning? Ross wants to buy the condo, and they want to sell it on the premium dollar that the new zoning and development would bring. The owners feel that the only way to get the zoning changed and developed and develop the condo is to put an initiative on the ballot. They say, if the big developers can do it, why can't we? Is the initiative process being used to go around the due public process and review? If Measure J passes, will city and county planning, environmental protections, planful mitigation, transportation, safety, and utilities be a thing of the past? It has to be about process. This is the wrong process.
Thank you.
Good evening, council members. My name is John Lomason. I'm here tonight as a businessman. And I chose this venue because of the tenor of the articles in the newspaper, the Bay News the other night, sort of disturbed me, and I didn't think that this would get out. So basically what I'm going to do is say it here. I think that the way the city council was attacked was out of place. There's no reason that that kind of attack should have came, especially from a managing editor of a newspaper. Reporter would keep his comments to himself. That was offhanded. That's not the kind of behavior we expect from a managing editor. That's a responsible position, and that gentleman did not handle it. And there are ways, as I said, I was here as a businessman. If it continues, I will do everything in my power to basically have influence over the advertising of that newspaper, because that was out of line. That's not journalism. That's anything but journalism. And I'm sorry if I seem kind of uptight and tense. I'm not supposed to be this way, but this riled me. This is personal attacks. It's one thing to complain. It's another to attack personally. And I think that's what the situation was here. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Mayor and Council, I'm Jeff O'Dell, a Morro Bay resident, council candidate for mayor. I'm here tonight to speak about what Mr. Merritt spoke of earlier about the upcoming New Futures Workshop that will be on the 30th, Saturday, from 11 to 3. And I just would like to let the public know that we're going to have a little special treat for those of you who come to participate. I'd like to, Mr. Ken Vesterfeld over here, who's also a candidate for mayor, and Mayor Peters and myself are all going to be out in the lobby. And our purpose is going to be to listen to your comments and try to get you to write them down. The whole point of the process is for public feedback to help the city and the entire planning process to decide the future of this real important piece of real estate. I'd just like everybody to come out just out of curiosity, if nothing else, because the more people that come, the more successful the process will be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Ken Vesterfeld, resident of Morro Bay, also a candidate for the mayor of Morro Bay. I'd like to follow up on Jeff's there. It seems to me we got some good things going on in the city where we're trying to get out to get news to all the people of Morro Bay. And that's really is the people who are running this town, is the citizens of Morro Bay. So issues like this, come on out, folks, find out what's going on. If you can't, get online and read about it. It's very informative. Also along the lines of that, as you know, time to time I come up and I try to give a little report on what's happening in the city. As most of you know, there has been a 9% increase in crime over last or the year before. And one of the things that has happened here just in our town of Morro Bay, our federal post office has closed in the evenings after 8 o'clock, and they're closed on Sundays.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, Council, staff. You know, it was a really great weekend. I went to a Quota fashion show, and our
we need your name,
Rick Grantham, candidate for city council. Thank you, Mayor Peters. Always forget that. Anyway, you know, I went to a Quota fashion show, and our mayor was there as one of the models and sang and entertained and for a great cause. And then I went to a fundraiser at the community gardens, and Jeff O'Dell is serving people there. Drove by a car accident, and of course Ken Vesterfeld was the first one on the scene directing traffic. And I think all three of you would probably be doing that stuff if you weren't running. And I think the voters are very lucky to have three dedicated folks like you guys running. The tone for this campaign has been very civil. I think we've been discussing the issues and not the people making the issues. I want to reiterate about Thursday morning's debate at Roses, and also October 3rd in this room, the debate put on the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce, and then the last one, hopefully, will be October 15th, that's put on by ABC. If anybody needs any yard signs for me, you can call me at 772-3133. I appreciate that very much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Did the four-legged visitor want to make a comment?
She's got 3 minutes.
I was kind of interested to see what he had to say.
He had a dog walk in.
Good evening, Mayor, members of council. My name is Ed Biagini, business owner here in Morro Bay. The group of businesses that started this business forum here about 6-8 months ago kind of got together this last week over the sewer rate increase, and we had written a pretty, a pretty strong letter that we wanted to forward to you. And then we kind of started doing a little bit of homework, and I did, and I spoke for quite a while, and thank you, Bill, this morning for talking to me, Mr. Boucher, with regards to the purpose of it. And I've got a feeling that I don't know how the word got out to us that the sewer increase was to help fund the new treatment plant. You know, I know you guys are all saying, no. But once again, we went off. I think some people, I'm glad I was late for that meeting, by the way, Thad. But I guess some conversation. But it'd sure be nice to have a little bit more communication between you folks, staff, and everybody in this town when you do something like this, because I've got a feeling it's probably still going to echo for a while. I got smarter. I'm going to talk more. We've invited Bill, or going to be inviting Bill to our Thursday forum as soon as we get through the candidate stuff, because we want to learn more about this whole sewer thing. And we sure like a heads up on something like this, because 20% in one fell swoop, 79% increase to us over the last 7 or 8 years, 84% increase to the residents of this town, and you guys aren't done. And I know you can't be done, but it sure be nice, because the more we know, the more educated we get, the more supportive we can be. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll bring it back to council. Any responses anyone wants to make? I'll say one thing, and that's to echo what Ed said. The hardest thing that I find being on the council as long as I have is getting correct information out to people. Not everybody has time to watch our meetings, and I understand that. I don't blame them at all. They've got lives to lead. But the newspapers can't possibly report everything that happens. It is somehow we have to increase awareness. Those Thursday morning meetings have certainly been doing that, but it's a constant challenge. The survey that we recently did asking for people's input on the sales tax issue, but actually it's going to be valuable to us for a long time to come because of the awareness that it gave us of what people aren't seeing or aren't hearing. People who think that we still own Flippos and we sold it 3 years ago. Stuff like that. And it's no one's fault, but it is the biggest obstacle to communication between government and the residents. How do we get that across? And I've yet to figure it out. I have office hours, you know, we do viewpoints. It's very difficult. So it really, thank you for doing your homework. I'm glad you did. And that helps, and that's what people need to do more often, I guess. We try.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I know this is going to sound a little funny, but for the next 7 years, the residents of Morro Bay would be well served to take the trouble to either watch the tape or watch the meetings of our infamous Joint Powers Authority meetings with Cayucas. That's where we go through the nuts and bolts of the sewer plant and all of what is entailed. We've had a number of done. We haven't even gotten to the real costs yet. And I would say, you know, every other meeting's held in Morro Bay, it's on television. The opposite meetings are in Cayucas, they're taped. And you would do well, because something as exciting as talking about our sewer plant never makes the newspaper or the TV news, and you really, really do need to know.
Melanie, do you have a comment, Tom? I'm sorry, I waited till your mouth was full, didn't I?
No, I just put these little candies in there. I would just say that this has been in the newspaper. It was on the front page of the Tribune about 3 weeks to a month ago. Sewer rates were going up. And I think the JPA meetings, frankly, are unwatchable. But if you'd like to know the big price tag that this entire city is looking at for not only the wastewater treatment plant, but for the sewer collection system that we are required to upgrade, call any one of us. We're all in the phone book. We can give you dollar figures and tell you that we're in a situation right now where we have to raise rates. We have to.
Okay. Council declaration of future agenda items. Thad? Anything? Betty?
Yes. Speaking of the JPA meeting, it became difficult for people to watch. Was it that meeting or one of the other meetings? I think it was our subcommittee meeting that was difficult for people to see on TV. And in speaking to some of the AGP people, it sounds like we need to maybe talk with them about upgrading some equipment, maybe look at broadband at that streaming thing like they do at the county. And so I'm wondering if we could ask PWAB to look at that whole package and contract with what's going on, and if this is a time to maybe upgrade.
Okay. Is that something that how would we do that? Direct PWAB to discuss something. If you get consensus here, to send it to them?
We've had ongoing discussions with AGP. As you know, their contract term was up at least 12 months ago, and we've had discussions about equipment and rates and stuff for many months. And I imagine that will continue until we reach a...
With staff or with the advisory boards?
Oh, I'm talking about the contractors themselves.
Okay, so that's been with staff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that sometime that'll come to us then, that discussion?
Well, hopefully, if we can reach some kind of resolution, we can bring a proposal to you that would give you another long-term contract.
Madam Mayor, question. Now, the equipment in the back room, that's ours, isn't it? That's not AGP.
I think it's a mix.
We ought to get some sort of update.
I think we all agree that the equipment's getting older.
So perhaps then what we're looking for is a report on just the general status of equipment. We have this PEG fund that we can use for capital improvements. Would you like that to come to council then?
Right. Let's have it come to us, and then whatever we decide, we can send on to PWAB.
We have consensus on that from the council. We would like that to come back. Is that the only one, Betty? Okay. Bill? Future agenda?
Oh, no, that was it.
Okay. Melody? Okay. I have several. Been having all kinds of conversations this week. First of all, code enforcement. Now that we don't have a code enforcement officer, it's becoming very difficult for us to keep up with code enforcement issues and to enforce code enforcement issues. So I would like to discuss setting up administrative citations to handle code enforcement, which would mean that it can be handled. There's some authority there. Rob, did you want to?
Yes. Internally, although we do not have a code enforcement officer, we are doing a joint between departments and cooperating together and trying to handle the code enforcement issues as they come along on a complaint-oriented basis. I've been to one seminar on administrative citations and have another one scheduled in the next couple of weeks. It's really the wave of where all cities are going, and I certainly can bring you back the initial report as to what that would entail and then get direction of whether you want to go that route with ordinances. It basically allows administrative citations to be issued by different members other than police officers. Instead of going to the district attorney's office, it can then be handled directly by the city, and all proceeds or fines and penalties also go directly to the city as opposed to the county. So be happy to bring back a report maybe next month or the following and give you some direction as what we can do.
Okay, do we have council agreement on that?
Yes,
we have full consensus. Okay. Another thing that I think we have something pertinent coming up on that, but I would like to review the status of all of our harbor leases. I know that some of them are very old Pipkin leases, some of them are brand new. There's so many different levels of leases, and I would like to know what the status is on each one of them so that we can kind of have a big picture of things. Do I have agreement on explaining
Could this just
that?
Be a written report given to us?
It would come from the Harbor Department, yeah.
Do we need to take any time at a meeting
for a report? I think that Rick is working on something that...
As soon as we make it an agenda item, it's not a private report in my mailbox. It's something that's available at Mills in the library.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do I have a third? Okay.
Okay.
Three of us in favor of that. Another thing that I would like to do with seeing the status of our fire department and the temporary buildings that we have there, when we looked at the plan for the new engine bay, we decided that we didn't want to go ahead and get the plan for the rest of the station at that time because it was going to be costly. I just would like to have us get the idea of what we can do. What I would like to see is that whole fire department built at once. I would rather not have it be piecemeal. I think that ultimately it's going to cost us more if we do it in pieces, and I would like to look at what the cost actually would be to do it all in one fell swoop and see if perhaps it's something that we can afford to finance. I'd just like to look
that.
At it before we get to the point where it's too late to have that possibility considered. Yes. Dad says yes.
I was going to discuss it, so never mind.
Well, you can't discuss it.
That's why I have to stop.
Madam Mayor, I would suggest that I will concur with that, but I also suggest that if it's another one of these things, well, gee, we've made changes and it's going to cost a lot more for the people to start over designing it, I need to know that too.
Well, that's all part of what I want in the discussion, and maybe there's ways that we can make it a little bit less palatial. I know it wasn't going to be fancy, but you know, if there's cost cutting that we can perhaps put in and get the whole project done, I think it would be worth considering. So, okay, we have consensus on that. And the last thing I wanted to bring up, and this is something that has come out of some discussions that have happened this week, is
One of our fire reserve officers told me a long time ago that he goes into burning buildings for $14 an hour and workers' comp. And I know we don't have a lot of money. He knows we don't have a lot of money. He's never pushed it, and neither have any of our other reserve officers. But I think it's something. All of our reserves are in the public safety area where they really are in dangerous situations. And I would like to just investigate. And again, I don't know where the money's going to come from. I don't know if the money's going to come. But I would like to investigate having some sort of benefit package, perhaps similar to what we have for our permanent part-time people, for our reserve personnel. I don't know if we can afford it, but I would like to explore it and see if it's a possibility.
I'd be willing to look at it.
Okay. We've got three on that. Okay, that's it. That's all I'm going to put out tonight. That'll keep us busy. Okay, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back for our public hearings. Okay, we're going to get back to work with our first public hearing. Item B1, appeals regarding the issuance of a coastal development permit for the sewer improvement project at Morro Bay State Park. And this is Rachel. Technical difficulties?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the City Council. The project we have before us this evening is an appeal of an approved coastal development permit that was granted by the Planning Commission on August 7, 2006 for a sewer improvement project within Morro Bay State Park. The applicant was actually appealed by two parties, the applicant themselves in regard to a condition of approval, specifically condition of approval number 11, as well as a member of the public, Joseph Arcano, regarding the clarity or lack thereof of condition number 11, concerns with the size of the proposed pipe, and finally, they were concerned that there was a lack of a flow meter proposed on the project. So to start with, I'd like to give you a brief overview of the proposed project. As you can see before you this evening, we have a site plan up, which indicates there's predominantly four main issues we're looking at here. To orient you a little bit, pump station number 2 is actually located next to the Bay Cafe restaurant, just Bayside. Thank you, Bill. That portion of the project is just an interior. They're upgrading the existing pump station to include submersible pumps. Nothing would be noticed different on the outside. Pump station number 2, they'll actually be removing the entire pump station. Number one, thank you, Bill. Pump station number 1 is actually located entirely within the original jurisdiction of the Coastal Commission, and the Coastal Commission has already acted and granted the State Parks Department a waiver, meaning they did not require them to get a coastal development permit for the removal of pump station number 1. The remainder of the project would be ongoing. The only areas of the campground that would be closed during that period would be the areas immediately within the construction zone for safety purposes. Again, here's a little bit more information about pump station number 1, the demo rebuild. As I indicated, the removal of pump station number 1 is not within the city's purview, and a waiver has already been granted for that to occur by the California Coastal Commission. The new station would be constructed within our jurisdiction. And this gives you an idea of where it would be located. It might be hard to tell. I don't know if anybody had a chance to make it out there, but it's a great improvement as far as environmental safety goes for the removal of the pump station number 1. It's going to be located behind a berm on the other side of Lower State Park Road, which creates kind of a natural containment area for any spill should it occur. The rehabilitation of pump station number 2, it seems like you're all familiar with the location. As I indicated, this would just be an improvement to pump station number 2. You would not notice any exterior change to the pump station. And as I indicated before, an existing sewer line of approximately 1,000 linear feet up near Group Camp would be replaced, and approximately 1,600 linear feet of sewer line would be relined. The replacement would be traditional trenching type of work, whereas the relining would be trenchless, they call it slip lining method. And now I'll get, now that we have a little description of the project, I want to get into the basis for the appeals. Again, as I indicated before, the applicant is before you appealing condition of approval number 11. They are happy to and have already began doing some investigation of the pipelines via video monitoring, but they're concerned with the inspection of the manhole the city staff had required due to potential legal issues, in their opinion. Staff went ahead and actually worked with a verified contractor, a qualified contractor, did the analysis of the manhole and determined that the repair to the manhole would cost approximately $5,700. Staff is requesting that you allow the applicant, if they are willing, to pay one half of that cost because they contribute approximately 50% of the to the deterioration of the manhole, and deem that substantially to be in compliance with the condition of approval number 11 as it applies to the manhole. In regards to the second appeal by citizen Joseph Ricano, Mr. Ricano was concerned about the size of the pipeline. Staff discussed this with the applicant and their engineers, as I noted in the staff plans and the note. In addition to that, we actually have a different means via an approved agreement from 1961 of determining how much the state park will pay for sewer service, and if we decide to utilize the proposed flow meter, we'll have to rework those agreements. And finally, in regards to lack of clarity in condition approval number 11, I hope I brought further clarity to that tonight, and I'm willing to entertain any questions regarding that condition. And now Bill Boucher is going to give you some pictures of the manhole and adjacent manholes to illustrate the disrepair that it is currently in.
Thank you, Rachel. You'll see on the first slide kind of the vicinity. This comes off of our sewer system atlas, and I'll kind of swing around here a little bit so I can point up at the overhead that might be a little clearer. Right here, this is the intersection of Kern and Main. From the south comes the pumping line from the state park, and also comes the pumping line out of the private inn at Morro Bay. This is the manhole that we're talking about, and for illustrative purposes, we also went up and took some photographs for you at the manhole directly upstream, up Kern, at the intersection of Bradley. These are two manholes were built at the same time. They handle, with the exception of one house, they handle all the same flow, with the major exception of this manhole accepting the waste from the two force mains. This, and I have to, when I was presented the photos of this, I was really surprised, but this is a 50-year-old manhole at Kern and Dana Way. What you might be able to see is this is looking down towards Main Street on Kern, with the flow from Dana coming in off the side. And as you can see, the steps are intact, and the interior of the manhole is lined with grout. The second one is similarly is looking at it from a slightly different angle. You got the steps, you've got the manhole completely lined with mortar, and the two clean flow lines coming in from below and from the side, and then exiting to the top of the photo, which is to the west down towards Main Street. Now, by comparison, again, the same construction project, the same age of manhole, here we have the manhole at Kern and Main. The pipeline on the left, which is discharging lots of water, is actually from the inn at Morro Bay, and the pipeline to the right is the pumping line from the state parks. And let me again swing around. What you can see is kind of the water's creeks are completely exposed. And again, this is looking at the downstream side of the manhole where the water is trying to get back into the gravity line to go north towards Piney Way. Again, you can see along the northerly wall, you can see the heavy staining of the brick turning it black, and all the grout lining the manhole is gone. Illustrative. Again, you see this manhole compared to this manhole built at the same time. The only difference is one accepts force mains from two private lift stations or two non-city lift stations, and the other is just accepting a gravity waste from a residential zone. The manhole at Main and Current is not the only manhole that we have in our system. That is in deteriorated condition because of force mains. There are a number of them around. We're in the process of identifying the rest of them and remedying it, but we do believe that that it is prudent to identify in this particular instance that there are two major contributors to the advanced deterioration of the system and that they should pay a commensurate amount for rehabilitation. And I should note that a 50-year-old sewer facility is not very old. We do anticipate that these systems would last in the hundreds of years. Look at any city along the eastern seaboard or in Europe. They've got systems that are hundreds of years old. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any questions for staff?
I have a question for Mr. Boucher. Just a learning curve here. Force mains versus gravity flow. Am I hearing something different here? One of those manholes has a gravity flow, and then the one that comes out of state parks has a force main.
That's correct. When the flow coming from your average mm-hmm. property flows via gravity to the sewer system,
right,
and then via gravity away it goes. The situation that we have in this particular instance is that you've got two properties, one being the state park, the other being the inn at Morro Bay, that are located at elevations lower than the sewer line.
Right.
So they have to collect their waste in a tank and physically pump the waste uphill to access this manhole.
So do you think that some of it is in the nature of the amount, certainly, but is some of it in the nature of it being a force main that's causing some of this deterioration?
Yes, and I would think that that would be the primary component that we're looking at, because as the waste sits in a tank, it is a customer of the city, as is state parks. We have not approached the Inn at Morro Bay to participate because they are not applying for a permit at this time. It is something that's certainly on the reminder list, things to do when the Inn applies for a permit list. So we would anticipate that we need to get this work done, and we would anticipate that the state park would contribute at this point, and then we would recover from the Inn at a later time.
Dan?
I have a question. Both appellants bring up condition number 11 in their appeals. Condition number 11 simply says that you're asking this manhole to be inspected. And it says in the final sentence that video inspection would be one valid, cost-effective option. Since we're looking at the picture right here on the screen of that manhole, how much more inspection do we need to do?
We already did the work. We did the work, and we have gotten prices from a local vendor to rehabilitate this manhole. So we're not asking for them to do a study at this point. What we are requesting is that they pay a proportional share for the rehabilitation of the manhole, and that be determined to be substantial conformance with condition 11.
Okay, so that's another condition.
Substitute.
We're saying that if now that we've gone past the doing the study, we've done this study internally, we've seen what it is, we know what needs to be done, and we know how much it's going to cost. So we're asking for them, in lieu of doing that analysis, to participate in the rehabilitation costs.
And I'm assuming we'll hear from them later this evening.
I'm comfortable with that, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, any further questions? All right, this is a public hearing. If you'd like to address this issue, please come forward. Oh, I'm sorry. Appellants, okay. Yes, now there's two appellants, so whoever would like to speak first. And what, 5-10 minutes? Is that good, Joey?
I'll be brief, okay. Madam Mayor.
All
thank
right.
you very much. And thank you for indulging me. I'm Joey Ricana with the Ocean Outfall Group, and as you know, we're dedicated to ending waivers, which is why, right from the outset, it pains me to hear about waivers being involved here. Laws were not created. Involved. This is really, we've got the cart before the horse.
A lot of the problems that we're seeing, as Mr. Boucher had shown us these problems, I see them as being caused simply because we haven't included the Inn at Morro Bay. Now, the Inn at Morro Bay is lower, so they have to send their a waste to this area through a pressure. It's pressurized. And then it gets there, and then you have a gravity situation. As I made clear at another meeting with a house down at North Point, it's illegal to have gravity and forced mains together. The reason being liability issues. Liability issues because if you have a situation where one thing is gravity and one thing is forced or pressurized, when you have a mishap, you become liable for all the damage that is caused when you fill up the Inn at Morro Bay with sewage. That wasn't taken into account here, just like it wasn't taken into account with the house that was just built on North Point with the swimming pool and hidden in its basement. Now, I don't know how long we're going to have to go on with issues like this being brought before this council and being ignored, but hopefully people will remember these types of things at the ballot box. Another issue that I am concerned about with this project is that, you know, the chickens have come home to roost. Now we're saying that we have to do it because we have faulty agreements, and what will happen is we may have to revisit those agreements. Well, isn't that a novel idea, to actually have agreements that make some sense? I don't see this as something that we have to worry about. It's an opportunity. It's a challenge. It's an opportunity to rework, revisit those agreements. You know, what good is having infrastructure in the city that is haphazard infrastructure, but also pieced together in the wrong fashion with agreements that just don't work? And clearly, the agreements that we originally had aren't working. All of this project is not in key. Process is not being followed. You heard a lady earlier today talking about Measure J with the Delidio project. It's not the project. It would eliminate CEQA. It would change the process. It's the process that you got to keep your eye on the ball. The process here is the problem. We need to revisit and go. They said 90 days, total work. Come on. It's not like we'd be slowing down a two-year project. What we need to do is make sure that what we're going to do, we're going to do it right. Now, November 3rd comes a new law that I mentioned in public comment tonight, and I've been mentioning over and over again, and it's the watershed-wide waste discharge requirement. For short, they call it the WDR. Anybody that's got a certain amount of infrastructure has to come forward with a watershed-wide approach. There are those who could see this. This could be construed as an end run around that law coming down the pipe, what, 4 weeks from now? 5 weeks? There's always time to do it. There's never time to do it right, but there's always time to do it over. The Inn at Morro Bay hasn't been included. The new large RVs, the influx of sewage from them, hasn't been included. It's impossible to do something like this without taking the Inn at Morro Bay sewage and the new influx of sewage from bigger, better RVs in the state park into consideration. It should all be in here, and it's not. It's nowhere to be found. Mr. Boucher had mentioned that this is something that should be done sometime in the future. You know, we've got lots of problems going on here with projects like this. It seems like the problem in this city and is systemic. You know, I know of a situation where there were problems citizens had who were not just citizens, but people who worked on these issues, and then they said, we have a problem, I disagree with the flow studies, and so they complained about the flow studies, and then somebody's relative is the signature on the bottom saying, no, everything's fine, you know. That's smacks of nepotism, and that's a systemic problem. Also,
I would be very careful when I listen to state parks who I just had to fight to keep them from cutting 400 to 600 trees in Montano d'Oro, as it turns out, for a developer he wanted to put a solar panel on his roof. You know, so I would be very careful up as compared to the importance of the process that must be adhered to. And when they turn around and want to do these things, and they don't even send Greg Smith down here. This is the second time. I've got a guy from Sacramento down here who doesn't know the particulars. And that's not how we take care of problems. Now, I thank you for this opportunity to address you. And I hope that if you don't uphold my appeal, you'll at least postpone this so we can take a better look at problems that are pressing and obvious.
Thank you. Okay, and then is it Gary Leach who's here? If not, please introduce yourself. We'll introduce yourself anyway, please.
Council members, my name's Gary Leach. I'm the project manager out of Sacramento, California, for the Morro Bay Sewer Improvement Project. We're here to, I guess, address one of the conditions in Condition 11, and it specifically had to do with inspecting the city manhole, and now that we're being asked to pay for half of the repair of the manhole. We have two issues with that. State Parks is not authorized, as Rachel mentioned, you know, to spend parks money on non-parks property, so we're not authorized to spend the money upgrading your manhole. And the other issue being that part of our sewage bill that we pay on a monthly basis, the rates that we're paying are based upon operation and maintenance costs of the system. So we're already paying for that system to be maintained, so we'd actually be being charged a second time now to repair the system.
Okay.
And that's all we have on Condition 11.
Brief and to the point. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. All right. Any questions for either of the applicants?
No.
Nope. Okay. We'll open it for the public hearing. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes.
There's some way I can have this AGP up here.
Marla Jo Bruton, North Morro Bay. What we're seeing here tonight, Mr. Ocano said it looks like an end run around the WDR. In approximately 4 weeks, our city will need, it's mandated from the state, a sewer master plan from any satellite, master sewer plan for their entire district. The state park, when they originally made the proposal, the plan to upgrade the park, had in their plan 7,400 linear feet to be upgraded. They're now coming, after they didn't do that when they did the upgrade, they left out the sewage infrastructure, and we know what they did with that. When they're coming back now and they want us to dissect the 7,400 feet, and they want us to look at 2,600 feet, and we're going to fix 2,600 feet. Don't worry about the rest of it, you know. Well, we should be very much concerned with the rest of it, because it will be mandated in 4 weeks. What I see them doing? Whoops. Oh, the light. Help. What I see them doing quite clearly here, if you take the 7,400 linear feet approximate in their first proposal, you subtract the 2,600 linear feet, you get 4,800 linear feet. Now, both 2,600 linear feet and 4,800 linear feet are below the standard number that is required to have a master sewer plan given to our city, which is the wastewater treatment plant that we are going to be upgrading. So, but since both of those, the 2600 and the 48, are under that agreement, what they're doing here is rushing in, Mr. Boucher, when he addressed this, said, at the first planning commission, I haven't even seen it. It just got on my desk Thursday. They rushed it. They rushed it in here, and this is what they're doing. When the state and their 1961 agreement, when the state parks turned from nature preservation to revenue generating and urbanization, that agreement should have become null and void.
Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and members of the council. My name is Roger Ewing, and I'm a citizen of Morro Bay. And of wastewater from this camp by bringing in larger RVs, more RVs, who will empty their sewage systems into this new upgraded system. But they don't want to enlarge the pipe. Nor do they want to help pay for the manhole recovery, which the state park, has contributed to its damage. It's all about money with state parks, and I think that's what annoys me. It's not about our environment. It's not about our ecology. It's about money, their budget, when in reality, the number one interest of you and those of us who appreciate the state park should be the environment. And whatever it takes to ensure the safety of that environment, the safety of that ecology, that's what should be your concern. State Park certainly has the money to upgrade the manhole, to upgrade the sewage system. They have doubled the entrance fees into the state park, more than doubled. The money is there. But if we allow them to have their way, we run the risk of eventually damaging the ecology and the environment. The state park sits right next to a national estuary. So anything that goes wrong with their sewage system goes into our estuary and possibly destroys it for some time to come. So why have them piecemeal this rebuild? Do it right the first time. Then the taxpayer doesn't have to pay the consequences down the road. Because there will be consequences if it's not done correctly. And it's very simple to do this correctly if you keep in mind the protection of the environment and the protection of the ecology. So I urge you, please, deny the appeal by State Parks, uphold the appeal of Joey Ricano, uphold the Planning Commission, and let's do this project correctly, once, the first time. Thank you very much for listening, and have a good meeting.
Thank you. Anyone else?
And since my comments were prepared on this, and I sent the comments to the state park people, the parks people have responded. They're saying basically that they know about the resources and they will make sure that this doesn't disturb anything. And I do believe that they are sincere in this, but sincerity is not the only thing that's required. Back in 2004, when the Save the Parks group went to State Parks Commission, Nick Franco very sincerely told the commissioners that the park renovation project did not involve the historic areas of the park. This is a photo of what I call the morgue of historic stonework left over from that project. And Franco, I imagine, thought that what he was saying was true, but his words weren't consistent with what ended up happening. The point is that you have to have we have equally pleasant people here, I think, saying that they will respect historic and natural resources, but the lesson is you have to go beyond good intentions to make certain. You need to spell out what needs to be done and write this into conditions and plans. With the mitigated negative declarations, mitigations are supposed to get written into the project plans, but here important ones were left out. For example, conditions on limiting pile driving to times outside of the nesting season for the birds got lost. There's stonework curbing built by the CCC that runs from the lines of the road climbing to the group campground, which isn't mentioned in the mitigated negative deck at all. Neither is this stone culvert, even though the sewer trench cuts directly through it. A manhole pit is to be excavated right next to it. We don't have any photographs of how that might look, unfortunately. The public comment period for the mitigated net deck closed before the surveys for the shoulder band snail were finished, and it revealed that endangered snails were found on both sides of the road up to the group campground. They propose avoidance, which makes sense, but also replacement of lost habitat on a 3-to-1 basis, which doesn't make sense. The problem here is that the Endangered Species Act prohibits all habitat loss, and the Fish and Wildlife Service certainly should sign on to this. Given these DPR's history with the city, it's appropriate to write the good intentions as formal conditions. Oh my goodness. I'll summarize very quickly on this. First, no pile driving. Second and third, do surveys, avoidance being the best solution. The historic surveys, the...
Good evening, Council. My name is Gail Severins, and I'm an environmental planner with California State Parks and the principal author of the mitigated negative declaration. I wanted to provide a little bit of information that there might be some misperceptions here. First of all, this project will not in any way increase the capacity of the sewage flow. Second of all, there will be no loss of habitat with this project. When the neg deck was authored, it was anticipated to be a larger project. This habitat will be avoided and no net loss of habitat. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has given us written approval to proceed with the project.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? All right, we'll bring it back to the council. Questions, anyone? Deb?
Question for staff. I guess, Bill, this is yours. If condition 11 says we want them to pay half, and they say they can't legally pay half, how do we get the money?
We refer the question to our city attorney, who I believe has looked into the matter.
If there's any reason why they can't pay it, that's internal, that they need to work out. The law allows us to charge this to an agency such as this. I've got two cases right here that allow this type of mitigation, even though it's not on their property. If, in fact, it is a impact, you're allowed to charge it. So I disagree with their – I don't think it's a legal conclusion. It might be internally that they don't allow that, but that's internally with state parks, not what the law is.
Thank you.
A follow-up question on that, if I may. Does maintenance apply here or not? Is it considered maintenance, or is this new construction, or?
Is I'm sorry, what?
Well, maintenance. In other words, in their sewer bills that they're paying for maintenance as well. Is this a maintenance issue, or is this a new construction kind
of? Well, we're looking, when you look at the specifics of their agreement, mm-hmm. The agreement that they signed with the county at the time. Yeah. It doesn't talk about the operations of the collection system. It talks about the operations of the treatment facilities. So, you know, do I agree with Mr. Leach's interpretation of what the agreement does say? Absolutely not.
Okay. Dad, go ahead. I just
park in Atascadero State Beach, multiplied by city's total annual cost of operation and maintenance of city's sewer treatment facilities, divided by the total annual metered gallons, equals cost to state. I mean, it says treatment facilities. It works. It works on a percentage of the metered water flow compared to the cost for the operations and maintenance of the treatment plant.
Okay. Betty? No, okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's education again. I see there's going to be, will there be a flow meter put on pump station 1? I see there's going to be one on 2.
I believe station 1 pumps to station 2, and station 2 pumps up the hill to Main Street.
And so we know the flow coming out. I've got a flow meter that tells me how much is coming out of there.
That will be metered.
Oh.
Does that mean that we will know how much flow there is? No. Like I said, we have the means through which their flow is determined, and that's 75% of their water usage.
Right, because one of the things I think is maybe a flaw in that contract, besides its language, is the fact that it's a percentage of what goes into the park rather than what comes out of the park, especially with the new use of the park being more RV-centered. Now, I don't drive an RV around. Thad might know this, but I think they bring some water in with them that might go out the system a different way, yes, in a collection station. Okay, so that's that question. So flow will be measured. And then this thing about these 6-inch pipes rather than the 4-inch, in here, staff is saying that the 6-inch pipes might reduce the velocity. But the pictures you were showing me of this force main shows a manhole that's basically being cut to pieces by the velocity. So actually, a 6-inch pipe sounds kind of like a good idea to me to reduce some of that impact on the inside of that manhole.
If I may be so bold as to presume I'm the answer guy on this one, it is kind of a strange situation up there in that while the Inn at Morro Bay is on the west side of the manhole, if you will, and State Park's system is on the south side, somewhere their pipes cross. So when I testified before the Planning Commission
Do you think that velocity is part of what's causing that erosion in that manhole, though?
No, I believe it's all gas.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. So, Rachel, you'd said earlier that we need to re-explore the contract or re-examine the contract. Did you say that in terms of what they pay or...
No, I'd clarify that if we were to use the flow meter as a basis for charging them, we would have to renegotiate the contract because currently, as Bill read, it's based upon the water flow in, not
right.
Based upon a flow meter reading.
And what's the date on the contract? When did we create this contract?
The first one was in 1961, prior to the city's incorporation, as Bill indicated, with the county, and it was amended in February 10th of 1975.
I'd say it's time to relook at the contract. It's been 30 years or so, and a great change has happened down at the state parks. This thing about the CEQA process and that Dr. DeBink was talking about, the missing surveys, when was... I know that we've got the surveys on the snails attached here from 2004, and I think this speaks to Mr. Ricano and the process question. But when was... The surveys were in 2004. When was the MND or the mitigated negative declaration completed? When did that close? He contends that public comment closed before the snail surveys were done, and that does seem to be kind of a reversal of a process.
The MND was filed with the State Clearinghouse sometime in 2004, and the conditions aren't coming up right in front of me. And if I don't know if Gail wants to make any comments as to why the surveys were done after it closed. That was prior to me being at the city, and I didn't follow the whole process prior to then.
And sometimes in 2004, it'll have to be a little bit deeper than that because...
It's in conditions. It's in your findings. I'm just sorry. I'm searching for it right at the moment.
Yeah, I am too, actually, but maybe...
Yeah, that's... Come on up. Gail, sorry.
Yes, the final notice of determination was filed in March of 2004. Should be noted that CEQA has a... once you file a notice of determination, I believe we have an admitted NIG deck. You have a 30-day statute of limitations. Complete surveys were done, and there will be no impact from this project.
Does that answer your question? Or?
Take any input from any source here, Rob?
Typically, they are done before because you have to have all the environmental review before you'd know what you're...
having a hearing about.
It's not like they're typically done before, but there
Okay, wait a minute.
Excuse me, David DeBeck.
You have to be recognized first, okay, David, please.
Excuse me.
All right, would the council like to hear what David has to say on this issue?
If he says he has the answer to this, and then Rob can tell me whether or not he agrees with the answer.
Okay,
could
David, go ahead.
Could I have an overhead light on somehow, too? Is that possible? Okay, negative declaration was circulated in February of 2004. The date, this is a letter that was written by Rob to the Parks Department. The time for comment closes, and it's actually signed by Gail Severance here. And I'm not sure you can see all the details here, but comments were received by a fax on February 17th. They were postmarked February 18th, both of which were after the public comment period deadline of February 15th, 2004. And then I note that February 15th was a Sunday, the 16th was President's Day, and Rob's materials were received on following business day, which certainly made them on time, but they were refused by the department's representative for CEQA. You are the responsible agency on this, and you have, in a sense, independent review over this, and to refuse your comments that were made on this. And I might add that the comments that were made by Rob and also, I believe, Councilperson Glenholtz were specifically faulting them for not having the surveys done at the time the documents were presented. This, no historic surveys, no snail surveys. And the city actually did not get a copy of the snail survey until May after they had been done, so they were not even received during the open period. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any comment then, Rob? Since, I mean, he's brought your name into this, so.
Gee, thanks. I would have to go back and look at exactly what transpired, but I guess the question that I have, the surveys have been done. They show there's no impact in Fish and Wildlife. Has approved the project. I certainly, you can make that as a condition to show that, but Fish and Wildlife certainly has the say over the Endangered Species Act and whether the project goes forward, because they...
What you're saying now, I'm concerned when we have input and it doesn't get done. I have kind of a technical question, another follow-up on some public comment, and perhaps the gentleman from Sacramento could answer this because it was thrown out here. How many linear feet of sewer line is there in the campground? One of the public comment people says that your first project was covering all of it. This is covering only part of it. Is this some way of the state avoiding its own regulations on WDRs?
I don't have that information of what the total linear footage of pipeline is in the park. She says it's a mile is the limit. Daryl is our maintenance chief over here. I imagine we have over a mile of sewer line in that park. You know, the 7,400 was part of the original CEQA, was part of the original project. And I'm not sure if everybody's aware, but when we got into this about 2 years ago, we were over budget to do the whole project. So that's why this force main that we're talking about that comes from this pump station number 2 up to the Kern Street manhole, that's no longer part of this project because we didn't have enough money to replace that. And at the time, it was determined that it was, you know, we had no problems on that line at all. And last time we met, you know, Bill wanted to have that line inspected. Daryl has gotten a company out there once already, and we're working on getting them out there again to do some more inspection on the line so we can get information back to the city to show the condition of that line. But at this current date, there is no plans to have that line replaced as part of this project.
Thank you. Well, is there, can I ask a question, too, about the culverts and the stonework? Right. Is that no longer a part of this project either?
No, it is. The MMD requires that we have a cultural monitor out there whenever we do any ground disturbance work. The contractor will be required to dig straight down the middle of the road, avoid the culvert, avoid the drain on the one side, and the culvert itself, if you look at the plans, we actually stay to... require the contractor remain at least a foot below the existing culvert.
And so when we'll it goes, when the road goes over the flow area,
right,
how do you do that?
Well, the drain pipe itself is going to go about 8 feet underneath the road when it's actually finished.
Okay.
So they're going to have an 8 to 10 foot trench underneath, so that'll go actually underneath
So you don't anticipate disturbing any of the rock work then?
No.
Okay.
I mean, that's our intent, not to disturb it, and that's why we'll have a cultural monitor out there.
Okay.
With
anybody
the contractor
else have questions
when he's operating.
For this gentleman?
I think I have.
Okay. I don't know if this is a question for you or not, but...
From the group camp down to the existing restroom?
That's not what the map says, unless you've changed the map since two
I'm
weeks
not sure
ago.
Which map you're referring to.
The one that Rachel's looking at.
Yeah.
The first year 4-inch line. Construct 4-inch sewer from manhole number 7 near restroom building number 4 to the group camp, C sheet C8 and C9.
So we're getting clarification from Rachel since she has the maps. Okay.
Well, I think she affirmed it. Is that right? That there is 4-inch? Yeah. And I did.
Maybe it's a typo? While they're looking, I'd like to ask another question, and I'm not sure who to direct this to, but the idea of this master plan that's required, is it only required on the part of the line that you're doing changes on, or is it required on the entire line, in which case isn't a master plan required for this project anyway?
The plan that was referred to earlier that comes from the waste discharge requirements that we dealt with a couple weeks ago is a sanitary sewer management plan. For every system that has a mile or more of total length, and again, clearly they do. Mm-hmm. I've had specific conversation with the regional board about this particular case because it is a fairly significant system, satellite to ours and adjunct to ours, and they told me that they haven't decided whether they are going to require state parks to do their own or whether they will expect us to have it folded into our program. So we don't know that answer yet. But are they of the size that's, at least by that criteria, eligible? Absolutely.
And who decides that and when?
This is a process that's going to be occurring over the next number of months, probably into the spring. There are a bunch of exhibits that we need to prepare and start submitting to the state, and then we start getting feedback. I don't know what conversations or what contacts that they've had with state parks, although we do know that there has been, at least based on our request to inspect the force main, that the regional board did have some limited discussions about that, at least with them. So I think they might be on the radar. So I don't know that for sure, though.
So no matter how big or little this particular... So are you saying that it could have been a mistake? It should be 6-inch?
I don't know.
Or have you reduced the number of campsites up there, perhaps? Or the quantity of people?
I don't know why it would be.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't even comment on that.
Okay. Yeah. You willing to make it 6-inch?
With the existing being 4 and then feeding into a 6-inch, I think that would actually slow down the flow out of that area once it hits the new pipeline.
Okay.
Yeah.
My concern would be, does it have enough capacity if you have 150 people up there? And then a corollary question is, referring to the housing area, there's been homes added there, and maybe this is a city question. Under what circumstance can state parks keep adding homes there? Do they go through our process? Do we know that this is happening, or do they just they do it on their own?
They've required to come forward for a coastal development permit. Any new structure in the coastal zone, appeal zone particularly, requires coastal development permit. David DeBink mentioned a concern that there might be a new module there that hasn't gotten a coastal development permit. That's something we need to look into outside of this project. So, and perhaps State Parks was unaware of that requirement, so we'll be speaking with them about that matter.
Thank you.
Melody, do you have another question? Anything else for Gary? Okay, thank you. Melody?
Yeah, I'm getting to a place where I think I'm getting comfortable with talking about what the main issues are for me. And I think that, is it okay if I go ahead and do that?
Sure. Does anyone else have any more questions? Okay.
And first of all, I've just seen that the gentleman from Sacramento, Mr. Leach, has said something about he doesn't know why that's 4-inch. It should have been 6-inch or something. I think it would be fair to direct staff to request, or that we could request, that State Parks just relook at that pipe size. I mean, he's admitting he's not sure why it's 4-inch from the group campground. Secondly, I think that we should keep Condition 11, certainly, but I think we need to clarify the dollars in there. As I read Condition 11 right now, it's not, and I've been assured by the city attorney that we can ask a state agency for money. And then finally, I would like to have that contract.
The of the appeals, one of the size of the pipe, the other one that appeared to be of more concern to our staff was the condition of the manhole, and that apparently is not affected by the size of the pipe. We still, in talking about the contract at this point or the size of the pipe, we have not resolved the issue of what do we want to do with the manhole, which is, to us, our immediate need. Now, I understand there might be some real concerns for the size of the pipe, but it appears to me those concerns, of course, are more global from the standpoint of what happens inside the park. From a city infrastructure, though, we're looking at the manhole, and we need to figure out how to handle that. Now, if we were to renegotiate the contract and turn around and say, okay, we're going to rebase these fees, that might cover the work out in the manhole and amortize the thing. Otherwise, we need to get there, and that's, of course, both are in Condition 11, but I think we still need to resolve if we're going to, or just deny the one appeal.
Betty? I would add to the manhole condition and renegotiating the contract. This pile driving thing, I think, is real important. And if they're willing to abide by it anyways, it's okay to put that condition in there and make sure that that's true. The biological resources have already been destroyed. And because that ice plant has been poisoned, and therefore that was the habitat, so there's no use to really talk about that. But I think certainly the cultural resources, and State Parks has said they agree that they'll stay in the middle of the road, then let's okay put a condition in there that that's going to be true, and that stonework will not be destroyed as it has been in the rest of the park. And I think this is a good discussion question, and that is the other recommendation that came to us regarding the consistency about the use of the residential area. Since it is in their own master plan, that will someday be turned into more campsites, which I think we would see as desirable. But understanding the housing situation, I can see why they want to keep that for their people. But I think a disclaimer is not out of the question either, that we are not consenting to this being a permanent situation until that master plan's redone.
It's a 4-inch pipeline coming out of the group campground to see if, in fact, the 6-inch might be a better alternative.
I don't have anything else to add. I think everybody's covered it. Who wants to try the motion? Melody, you got wording there?
Yeah, I'll try the motion. It's going to agree with that and pick up one of Betty's, I think. Okay, so I make a motion that we request that State Parks relook at the pipe size that they're using in their campground project. Coming from the group camping site especially. To clarify and relook at. Number two, that we would keep Condition 11. And clarify the dollar amount. Third, that we would direct staff to negotiate some kind of a new contract with them that reflects the updated situation at the campground. And then fourth, because I think it's a good idea, is to add the condition to assure no pile driving during the nesting season, with the understanding that I do see State Park saying, we're not going to do it, it's not anticipated. But I think it's a good thing to just put it in as one of our conditions to make sure that we've got it in writing somewhere that it's a condition. Don't be doing pile driving from February 1st to September 1st.
Can I make a comment? I would second this. If you would include in your motion the fact that we are upholding parts of both of the appeals. I mean, that's why we're here, either to appeal or to agree with or deny the appeal. It's an appeal we're talking about.
Yes, and I will add to that motion four things in that motion work to uphold parts of the appeal.
Can I ask a question? As it stands, Condition 11 doesn't have anything to do with repairing the manhole. I know we've heard that it would, but if we're going to start beating up on Condition 11, wouldn't it be great to tell them that they don't need to inspect it again, but we need some money to fix it?
Well, I think she said that. She said to reword Condition number 11 with a dollar amount.
To clarify a dollar amount.
That's okay. I must have misunderstood that. I heard you say add a dollar amount, and I heard Thad say rewrite it.
Well, it'll take some rewriting.
All right, if the appeal has been addressed,
mm-hmm.
and I think it has, I'll second
it. The appeal of Mr. Ricano,
right.
And we're denying the appeal
I think so too.
Of state parks. We're upholding a part of, a piece of.
We're upholding part of both of the appeals because they both are appealing based on Condition 11. And we are saying, yes, Condition 11 needs to be changed. It may not be exactly the way they both wanted, but we're changing it.
I don't think that was quite the sense of State Parks' appeal.
We are also upholding a couple of the points that Mr. Ricano made. So we're really upholding an appeal based upon what we think they ought to do.
Are we really upholding the State Park appeal? I don't think we are.
I would be happy if somebody could read the motion back in about five sentences.
Rob, what's your take on that? Isn't our motion denying?
You're denying part of the appeal filed by Mr. Ricano. I don't believe
right.
you're upholding any part of the appeal filed by State Park. So their reason for appealing condition number 11 is they don't believe they should have to pay for any of the infrastructure outside of their facilities. So
and we're denying that.
We're denying that.
Yeah. So. And then we're upholding a part of the other appeal. And that language could go into that. We've denied State Park's appeal and upholding one issue, the pipe size of the citizens' appeal.
I'll second that motion.
But, okay, Mr. Ambo's got a comment here.
I just had a question. Is there any timing on when we're supposed to get the revised contract settled with them? I mean, are we supposed to come to an agreement with a revised contract before this permit's effective, or are we giving them some period of time to deal with that?
I think this should be an ongoing thing. We can't put a time limit on it.
But if you don't, they may not come to the table. I mean, if we can't get them to the table, Mr. Ambo, then the contract stays in force, does it not? As it currently is, or Mr.
Correct.
Schultz. So I think we need to put some kind of condition on it, otherwise they won't come to the table. It's to their benefit not to come to the table.
Yes. I mean, if you want that leverage, then it would have to be a condition of approval that there's a successful renegotiation of the contract. Unfortunately, if you can't reach a successful negotiation, then we'll be back in front of you for amendment of that condition.
I want that leverage, actually, too. It's a bigger agency than ours. So I would like to have the contract renegotiated before the permit's granted. But I didn't understand
endorsement of this non-conforming use. And the city should add language to its approval that specifies endorsing the removal of the ranger trailer and houses and states the upgrade are intended to serve future visitor facilities, not the housing. So
I'd ask Rob, do you see that as a problem one way or the other? Pardon?
I don't know enough about that issue to comment on it. I'm just unfamiliar with it, on what's going on out there.
Apparently those houses are supposed to ultimately go away and it's supposed to become campground.
I don't know that. I mean, I don't know that for a fact.
Okay. And I don't either.
It could very well be, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's in the general plan.
And I don't either, so I think I got a second on a motion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
Okay. Do you want anyone want it read back at all?
I would love to have it restated.
Can you?
Several other people.
Do you know what
like
the
Jamie?
Motion is, Jamie? I can try it again if you'd like. Okay. Let me try it. I make a motion. The motion says that it's been seconded that we're requesting that State Parks relook at the pipe size.
Excuse me, could you start with the deny or approve the appeal and then go to the conditions?
Thank you, Mr. Baxley.
Thank you.
I make a motion that we deny the State Parks appeal and we uphold one part of the citizen's appeal that has to do with pipe size. And by way of doing that, number one, I would request that the State Parks relook at the pipe size, particularly coming from the group campsite. Number two, that we keep Condition 11 intact and, in fact, further clarify the monetary contribution from State Parks in taking care of the manhole. Number three, that we direct staff to renegotiate a clear contract reflecting the new uses of the State Park campground before a permit is granted. And number four, that we add to the conditions that there will be no pile driving in this project during the nesting season. And, but could you give me the language of that, because I wasn't tracking the brickwork part.
I thought you were restating your motion that was on the floor.
Yeah, but the fifth part is the brickwork part, which I don't have the language for. What is it?
That the brickwork not be disturbed.
And that the brickwork not be disturbed.
Second.
How about...
All right.
Yeah.
You want a break? We're going to take a short break.
Here specifically on B2, I'd like to pull something from our consent agenda and get that done first if we can. No objection there? Good. Okay, because that can send one of our people home. All right, let's go to the consent agenda for a moment. And first of all, we'll see what everybody's going to pull. We won't deal with any of them except A3 right now. So, who wants to pull what?
I would pull 5, 6, and 8.
Okay, Betty. 5, 6, and 8.
And then I only have to pull 1 and 3 then.
And 7's already been pulled.
Yeah.
Okay, so Melody's pulling 1 and 3. Okay. And A4. And A4.
9 and 10.
Yeah. A2, 4, 9, and 10. Was that your motion?
Didn't somebody pull 4?
Mm. Nobody pulled 4?
No.
No.
Okay, I'll throw that in too.
All right. Is the motion clear? 2, 4, 9, and 10.
Second.
Are being approved. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. So now we'll go to A3, then we'll go back to our public hearing, and then we'll deal with the rest of them. So, Melody, okay. You pulled A3.
Yeah, I pulled A3, which is an amendment to the California Public Employees Retirement System contract to allow pre-tax purchase of service credit. And I pulled this because there's lots of public concern, it's in the papers and everything, about these retirement systems costing cities money. And I know that Ms. Slayton has a great explanation of how this will not cost the city any money. And that's the main thing, because I was of the belief that if an employee has more service credit, that that gets multiplied times something for a contribution I make to PERS from the city. And because the city pays the PERS money. So, Ms. Slayton, could you explain to me how this amendment would not cost the city money?
Thank you, Mayor and Council Members. This particular item...
Is your mic on?
Yes, it is.
Could we bring up Susan's mic a little bit? I just can't.
Okay. Does that one sound better?
Much better, yeah.
Okay. This particular item, who were not working at qualifying agencies, had never worked in a PERS environment, but wanted to add 1 to 5 years of additional years into their retirement package. It's very expensive for the employee. The employee pays the entire, pays everything. So the city pays nothing. There is no contribution on the city's part for this.
And it's limited to 5 years of service credit that you can purchase.
That's correct. You can purchase anywhere from 1 to 5 years, you know, in any increments, but only 5 years total, and you can only do it one time.
You can only do it one time?
Yes.
Okay. Rob, you have something to say?
No, I guess I would be a perfect example of this. Someone for 15 years was in private practice representing cities as contract employee. I'm not eligible for PERS. In the last 5 years, I have been. So I would be able to do this, but it's entirely on my cost, my dollar. But the good thing about it for an employee is it's pre-taxed. So it's money that you can do this, or you can put it in a deferred comp. There's different ways you can do it, and some like to do it in this because then it goes towards their retirement service.
And pre-tax is pretty typical of these kinds of employee contributions, we call them.
Madam Mayor, may I add one aspect of this resolution that's before you is that the only novel thing about this resolution is the source of money being used to buy this credit, because the city already allows its employees to buy credit through use of deferred comp funds and so on. The only difference about this is that it's using these pre-tax earnings to purchase those credits.
Okay. Could you point out in the resolution, Susan, where it says that the money comes from the employee and not the city, because of point two in the resolutions, contributions made by City of Morro Bay to CalPERS, although designated as employee contributions, are being paid by the City of Morro Bay in lieu of contributions by employees. So that sounds sort of like the city's paying for it. But is there language here that guarantees what you're saying?
It's in here, and what it's actually saying is that it is paid by the City of Morro Bay, but I'm the person who pays it. So it's taken from my paycheck, and it's then...
Deferred compensation programs are the same way. We have to retain possession in order for the pre-tax status to remain.
That's okay. And before I move approval, may I just compliment Susan Slayton, our finance director. For in every meeting I've had with her, she has been forthright, more than informative, and I have valued her contribution to the city since she's joined our staff.
And quick, too.
So I would move approval of A3.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. All right. Now we will go away from consent, and Susan can go home, and we'll go back to B2, which is the update to the safety element of the general plan, local coastal plan, and a newly developed local hazard mitigation plan. And this is shared by Bruce and Mike, who's taking the presentation. Mr. Rambo?
Madam Mayor, I'd be happy to begin the presentation. Just in terms of background, this would be an amendment to the general plan safety element, and there's an accompanying item that the fire chief will address, which is a local hazard mitigation plan. For some unknown reason, this we had done the work where we updated this, the actual safety element, the last time we did this, but it was omitted from the general plan element update that we did in 2004. We're asking that this amendment be included to that series of amendments that we completed a couple of years ago and then forwarded to the Coastal Commission for review. But the safety element really is, if I was to characterize it, in our opinion, it's more of a, it's not a very subjective element. It really identifies policies and implementation measures to reduce hazards and to mitigate the loss of property and life and aspects of safety in all potential hazard areas regarding flooding, tsunamis, fires, earthquake, geologic instability, and other hazards that are, for example, hazardous waste, terrorism is mentioned, and some of these other things. And it's really the information that's in this updated element is more current. The safety element that we have on the books now was drafted in 1988, so there's been a lot of changes and a lot of current information has been included in this more recent document. And then if the council sees fit, then adopting the previous negative declaration for the environmental document on the safety element that we used in 2004, and we believe that that information is still applicable to this document, and adopt the safety element with a separate resolution, and then adopt the local hazard mitigation plan with a separate resolution.
Okay.
But if you have any questions on the safety element, I'd be happy to answer them, or perhaps you might want to go to the chief to address the mitigation plan, whatever
okay.
your choice.
Questions, anyone?
I've got some questions on the safety element.
Okay.
Let me see. In the safety element, we're looking at lots of things having to do with water hazards and flood hazards and things like that. So on page 6, it says water hazards result. Exposure of the public to water-related hazards can result from flooding, high surf events, and beach erosion. And I think it was in actually today's Tribune or yesterday's, there was an article about this woman who walks up and down testing the coast for E. coli and other things, you know. So I think we ought to say something in here about the inadvertent release of sewage or chlorine or effects of wastewater treatment plants. Not that we have a lot, but that is a safety issue, particularly when we have high rain events, heavy rain events, I should say, and we tend to hit that kind of flood-prone area down there. So I'd like something added to water hazards to include that. And then, let me see. On the flood hazards, on page 7, the first paragraph talks about increased runoff that results from development of impervious surfaces such as roadways and rooftops. And you remember that low impact development PowerPoint show we saw? Couldn't that go? Was that included in here that we might pursue some low impact development techniques given to us from the Regional Water Control Board?
I'm not aware of it, but we can certainly add something that we would encourage people to take advantage of low impact development techniques for sustainable.
Yeah, I'm sorry about not kind of pointing to where I'd put it in under which policy or which implementation measure, but I think it's an implementation.
Are you of that?
No, ma'am, I do not.
Okay, thanks.
And then on page 10, I think, is another good place to put the water treatment plan in under implementation measure S6A. Consistent with flood hazard regulations, the city shall discourage development, particularly critical facilities in areas of high flood hazard potential. Shall not allow development, although this might get us into a little bit of trouble.
Well, I marked that myself, and I'm thinking, does that mean are we telling ourselves not to build the plant down there? Because what could be more critical than your wastewater treatment plant?
Which is in a flood area.
Which is in a floodplain.
We acknowledged that in some of the earlier versions of this when we were working through that, and that was an issue that we were aware of. And when we modified this, it was our opinion that that didn't mean that it would be prohibitive.
It would be?
Would not. That means there were standards in previous drafts that are not before you that raised some of the question, and we think that the language in here now allows you to do that. If you like, we can add something in here that would, and I'm not really sure where it is. Maybe we've got it addressed in other places, but if you feel more comfortable, we can certainly add to this actually, my impression of that, this is why I'm, excuse me, but I'm remembering this. My impression is that was new wastewater treatment plants. This is an existing one.
So
well,
it makes sense.
And also it says discourage development. So you're saying we wouldn't put the new plant there.
Right.
Well,
to have the old one there.
You can remodel.
Right, but we can remodel one. We're not proposing one. There's one already there.
You're not saying we're going to remove an existing one, but we're not going to put a brand new one in another floodplain area.
I think if you read the last sentence of the previous policy, S6, it covers what we're talking about. There are standards that we will maintain.
Fine.
But this is how you would maintain that standard, is implementing this by not putting that stuff there.
That's fine. I'll go on. And I'll just finish my questions and comments. And so on page 16, when we're talking about slope instability and landslides, and you refer to figure S2 on the next page, and when I look at it, and it would also reflect the latest data we have, or is that just going to run up into the tens of thousands of dollars?
No, this identifies landslides, and we do have a more current fault rupture look map, but this is landslide areas.
I understand, Bruce. I understand that. Landslides and fault ruptures are two different things, and you have two different maps in here. But the landslide hazards, are they the same as they were in 1975, 30 years ago, as they are now? Chief Pond, do you have an opinion about what an earthquake does to landslide potential?
I would say that the hazards are the same because geologically things don't change. Excuse me. The landslides that we have in North Morro Bay on Panorama and the ones that we have more down towards Laurel existed 1,000 years ago. They existed in 75 and they exist today. So I don't see a lot of change that's occurred.
Okay. And then,
can I just ask a learning question then, too? Then, so when we have, like, heavy rains and we see earth move up there, you're saying those places are already marked, and just because we now visually see it isn't cause for alarm or a need to update a map?
Correct. Anytime you see land movement, you know, that's cause for alarm. But those landslides are ancient landslides. They've been there for a long time. We've had them move in 83. We've had them move in 95. Essentially, whenever we get more than 30, 32 inches of rain in a year, we start seeing some movement. There have been some mitigating measures taken with a Whale Rock line has been moved down to Tide Street to get away from the toe of that large slide up there. But those slides are going to be there for a long time. And
they don't expand. I guess the question would be, do they expand?
Inches, maybe a foot or two, but yeah, they're not moving. They're not like you saw at La Conchita, where you're going to have a sudden rupture and a rundown of dirt and debris. They've been studied fairly well, and we have reports on those at the building department and the fire department. You can feel free to look at those.
Probably my last comment, and then I'll give up the stage here, is the heading on page 20. I always love to read about hazardous trees. It says here that but they became top-heavy and blew over. And yet we have nothing in here. It says they become hazards because of their age, loose sandy soils, high winds, and I think over-management by humans, and they tend to become hazards. But I don't know what council thinks about that one. And that concludes my comments.
All right, Bill?
No, I don't have anything at this time.
Betty?
Yes, I have a couple also.
And these are questions, not comments still. We haven't had our public hearing yet.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
On the last one.
Okay. On page 11, implementation measure S7C, does this correspond to the action that we took a few months ago about creek cleaning? So there's no need to adjust that language. Okay. And the other question is on page 16, implementation measure S15A, when it mentions that there should an active or potential active fault be identified, yet on the map, there's a Los Osos fault that runs through the estuary. Should that be identified in there?
We normally require these if there's a development proposal in proximity to them, and that's how we would use this. So if someone was perhaps proposing a subdivision and it seemed like it was proximate to the location of a fault line in the geologic study, we may ask them to do some kind of a fault line investigation component to the geologic analysis. That's how this is used on the development review side of the equation. So
because that fault's not near where we would develop anything, you're saying it doesn't need to be mentioned?
Well, that means that's when we would take it to the next level of analysis to get a more accurate idea of the impact.
Okay, I guess my concern was that this denies that there even is a fault, and so I thought maybe we should mention that there are faults.
I think we refer to the fault map exhibit.
Yeah, we do have a fault map exhibit. My reading of this was if a new fault is what I felt was if a new fault was found, okay, that was active or potentially active, because we know of all the existing ones.
Okay. So maybe later I'll suggest we add the word new. That would help for me.
Second section, abandoned pipelines, the last paragraph of that section, in North Morro Bay.
See where that is again? Second section of what? Abandoned pipelines, okay. Okay. All right, any other comments on this issue?
Were the comments now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I support the entire project.
Okay.
I worked on it when I was on the Planning Commission.
Okay. Betty? I would make a couple of suggestions, but maybe you want those later.
No, now's the time.
Okay. Okay, that one got answered. Excuse me. On page 13, implementation measure S13B, the city shall require a defensible space around structures and values at risk. Two images come to my head when I read this, and that are buildings that have 3 feet or less between them, and buildings that we're now allowing overhangs into. And I think we'll probably get at this when we get to the setback issue, when it ever comes before us. But I'm glad that this is in here. I think this is really important, and I'd like us to remember that it's here, so when we get to redoing that zoning, that we'll take that into consideration. And the same with on the previous page, page 12, implementation measure S10A, where it talks about adequate access to fire hydrants. Some of these narrower private roads or driveways that we've been allowing, I think we need to keep both of these in mind, and I think these are both really important. So that's just a comment. Talked about that. Page 18, policy S18, continue to encourage that developments on sloping ground use design and construction techniques appropriate for those areas. For me, this is a very watered-down item as compared to what used to be or is in our current general plan that talks about we won't allow construction on more than 20% grade on hillsides, that we need to reduce our cut and fill. That whole topic has been eliminated from the new safety element, and that concerns me. I'd like to see something.
Well, why don't we take it right now. Was there discussion of that change when you went through this whole process, and was there a reason for removing those specific references?
Are you certain that was in the safety element, or are you talking about in the LCP? So it was part of the safety element.
Does anybody remember whether those items were specifically discussed?
I don't recall. There wasn't anything that recently that was involved with it.
Thad, do you remember anything?
Maybe I can get more on point, though. What's the concern? Is the concern some element of safety here, or is it concern some element of development regulation?
That someone's house is going to slide down on top of someone else if you're on too steep of a slope.
Well,
that's in a different section.
No, it's actually in our general plan.
I understand that, but it's not just in the safety element. Those are part of the zoning regulations.
Mr. Baxley, do you recall? Because I was wondering if it's in the zoning regulations, the new zoning, right? That do you recall that it has a thing in there about the 20% slope, which was in the old general plan?
I don't think we changed it.
But would it just be omitted, maybe? And not that it would be changed, but that it's gone.
It's not gone from what we sent to the Coastal Commission to be reviewed and sent back to us. That's a different, that we did that night in 2004.
Our city attorney is reading it. You want to go on to some other comments while he takes a look at
that? Sure.
On the bottom of page 20, it refers to the city shall work with LS Power. Maybe we should make that a more generic term.
The more of a power plant is what I think we're referring you to it now.
Yeah. We could change that to a generic term, because who knows?
I'm sorry, I missed. What was
on the bottom of page 20. S18A.
S19.
S19A.
Oh, sorry.
Instead of LS Power, just the Morbay Power Plant.
Or the owners
since
thereof.
Since we have no idea who's going to own it tomorrow.
And I'll wait, but I would concur with Mr. Merritt that under the hazardous trees that we need to add something about human involvement there. And then that would be the last of my comments or suggestions for change.
Project with the complete zoning was to reduce and make it simpler and not keep saying the same thing over and over in different sections.
Well, how about if we ask staff to just check that, make sure that we have that protection someplace else in our documents and that we don't need it duplicated here?
Well, I think what it, Mike just pointed this out, if you look at SB 18 on the bottom of page 18, S18B says confirmed through preliminary findings during construction and that we do soil investigations and geologic investigations by a qualified licensed professional. The idea there is that when they're in these areas that they provide these studies to us and then we make that determination and then we go to the next level of analysis, which is a site-specific environmental review. This gives us the coverage to say you're in an area where there is known geologic hazards and the next step in practice is to require the studies, and then they go before the Planning Commission or your council. And then the next layer, if you will, of review is when the actual construction proposal and design is measured, is evaluated with the construction documents for the building itself. So there's couple layers where we're getting more accurate information, and this identifies what situations are required. This still gives us the ability to require that information.
And I think what Betty was looking for was more the specifics of the degree of slope that we have to address it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Should that actually be in the safety element?
Probably not, but that's what I'm saying.
Else.
If you could just make sure that we have those specifications elsewhere and that this was removed because it was duplication, which I rather expect was the reason. So if we find that out, then that solves the problem, right?
Leave it somewhere.
Okay.
I think that's a very good idea, but could I request that we get that confirmation either in our mailboxes or email or something? Would that be okay, Bruce?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it's in the new zoning or somewhere?
Okay, what else you got, Ben?
Oh, I was done.
That was it. Okay, Bill?
Nope.
Melody?
Well, other than making sure that we note that the wastewater treatment plant itself can create a hazard and the human-caused problems with trees, not just the clipping of them, but also the digging big trenches next to them, I worried about Maine Quintana for months, what was going to happen to those trees. But no, and things growing up on hillsides and... I just think this is a watered down, I think that was the expression Ms. Winholz used, a watered down version of the safety element. And I just hope to goodness that we put those rules and regs in zoning. I hope they're there. And actually, not knowing where they are, I'm not really fond of voting for the safety element tonight.
Well, okay, we'll get response on that one item. I think. My understanding is that the goal of this was to, again, not be repetitive to where we have specifics in other areas. So in that case, to give a broad interpretation to things is probably a good thing, because you can say, okay, we feel that this is something to be concerned about. Let's look and see if there's a more specified reference to it elsewhere. But in any case, we can say, yeah, it does apply, because it is a broad picture instead of a very narrow one, and probably means there would be less confusion on some issues because you've got a broader stroke to deal with.
No. I have always asserted, Madam Mayor, that when you have broad statements and vague language, it causes more dissent and a lack of clarity.
I'm saying in this element, mm-hmm. that they be broad and refer to the detail that we have in other elements,
well,
which
broad,
I'm assuming
broad
we
at
have
the policy.
And we're going to have confirmed.
Yeah, sorry. But broad at the policy level, certainly in the goal level, but when you get to the implementation level about what we want to do, they should start getting more firm and more clear. But again, I'm willing to hear from Mr. Ambo over the next week as to where did that 20% go.
Okay. My comment, this is something that was brought to my attention by Linda Steggi, actually, about a business resumption plan. And what she's done is some studies on how long it takes after a disaster to actually be up to speed again if you don't have electricity for 3 days, 3 weeks, a month. You know, what does that do not only to your living situation but to records keeping for the city, for other businesses, banks, all of those things that we rely on without thinking about? And I was thinking that perhaps that might be something we could include in the Goal 51 with the high level of emergency preparedness. I'm not quite sure how to word it. I could ask, but it just seemed like a good idea to recognize the fact that our electronic infrastructure holds together so much of our lives these days, and perhaps that should be dealt with in some manner.
I was at that time to the one at City Hall, with the idea being that in a disaster we could pull the hard drives out of the one at City Hall and plug them in to the computer in the community center, and with the generator keep the city on the air. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to pull their chips in the printer at City Hall, which actually have the check configuration, and they could be moved too. Is that correct, Mr. Chief Fund?
I recall that being the case. I have not checked in to see if that is still operational, if that can still be done. We'd have to check with our IT guys, Steve Doerr.
Well, we need to make sure that he hasn't changed that, because that was one of the reasons why we put the computers we did in the Rec and Parks Department, so that we would have a redundant system that could be operated during a disaster and keep the city in business. That's not something I want to add to this, but it's something that somebody needs to look at.
Well, and the idea, too, of having something maybe not in the city, some sort of a backup of some of our data and programs that can, you know, if there's a tsunami that covers Morro Bay.
Now, I don't think it'll matter at that point, because okay. Most of your data will not be appropriate. The things that they're affecting will have washed away.
Well, I know with our law firm, we always had someone out of San Luis Obispo that had the computer records.
We do that, so too, Madam Mayor.
We do.
Backup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's already done. Okay.
Yeah.
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
Before we proceed, could we have Chief Pons indicate briefly something about the planning group that put this together and the project manager that helped with it and what the funding was?
Actually, we haven't moved on to the hazard mitigation program yet. We're still in the safety element, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay. So when we move on to the hazard mitigation plan, we'll talk.
Although I think we're probably ready to move on to that now, aren't we? Is everybody ready to move on?
Can I just ask a procedural question? Are we, because there's a couple of things we want to see redone or get questions back, are we giving a general approval, and then are we giving a final approval? Does it have to come back for a second reading? Where are we in the process?
It certainly doesn't have to come back for a second reading. It's up to you whether you want to approve it with staff making the changes that have been so far addressed, or to make those changes and bring it back on the consent calendar. It'd be your decision.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, so maybe we should deal with that first before we go on to the next step.
Yeah.
So you want it brought back to the consent calendar with the changes we requested and the information that we've asked for?
I think that's a good idea, especially the 20% deal. Where is that?
Yeah.
They are elsewhere, or put them back in.
Well, okay. If I can, Mayor, what I might say is there probably was I can tell you that there are other places where it's more apt and there's a better fit to apply regulations relative to grading and site disturbance and so forth. They're in different sections of the element, and there are numerous policies in place throughout the general plan. So that's going to take some work, but I can tell you there are other places in the plan where there's a closer fit, and it's a better form of regulation. Where it's more on point to where one would expect to encounter those policies that are intended to guide development. Those are more development-related policies versus general community safety concerns and this aspect of property and hazard mitigation. That's the difference that I'm trying to draw here. So we can do that. We'd be happy to do that, but it may be a little bit more confusing to the reader to have to look in other parts of this when there are other places where it's addressed directly. I can tell you there are other places where we've picked those up.
And that's what you're going to find for us.
What are your other specific concerns, though, so he knows what he's looking for?
I think that I'm okay with what he just said.
Okay. So you know what we need?
We'll go through the general plan and the zoning ordinance. I can tell you there's a lot of references.
Well, that sounds like a lot of work. If you have specific things that you're missing.
No, it was just that one. I think that's the major one.
Okay, so that's the only one, just the slope situation. We're not asking you to go through both documents.
And so the only one right now that staff will look at is this idea about the slopes and the grading on them. And see where they've been picked up. If there's something else that you feel has been removed from the safety element, now's the time to tell them, not in 2 weeks.
Right, and just tangential to that is the idea that we, at least in this general plan, we restrict a development on hillsides during the rainy season, according to this document. Now, if you go out in the middle of winter, you'll see development going on. And so I don't know if that's something that we want to not do anymore because we have new technology or we have new way to burn the dirt. So that's, I don't know if that's related to this or not.
May I make a motion?
Yes.
I move that we approve the safety.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Okay. Now we'll go on to the local hazard mitigation plan.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and City Council. Your local hazard mitigation plan that's before you tonight was born out of the Disaster Mitigation Act of 2000, also known as the Stafford Act. That act pretty much tied eligibility for certain grants to be based on compliance with the act. So one of the features of that act was that every city, municipality, tribal group or governmental agency must have a local hazard mitigation plan approved and on file with FEMA. The plan is very similar to the safety element. However, the safety element was required by the state, and therefore it follows state guidelines for development. The hazard mitigation plan is required by the federal government and the Disaster Mitigation Act, and therefore follows its matrix and its guidelines. So they're a little bit different. You will see some differences within the documents, especially when you get down to risk assessment, vulnerability assessment, and mitigation strategies. Those key components there will actually provide some input when the Planning Commission looks at the safety element. In fact, in the safety element, it says, and I quote, "In making the land use decisions, the severity and probability of loss should be considered." Well, those aren't identified in the safety element, but those are identified in the local hazard mitigation plan. And that local hazard mitigation plan was established to help reduce costs and identify costs ahead of time for FEMA, because over the years, last decade, costs have been running rampant. And so this is trying to focus those costs, identify those up front and before disaster occurs. Funds will be made available if we do have this plan adopted. Actually, the hazard mitigation funds from the San Simeon earthquake of 2003 helped fund this document. It paid for 75% of its development, and I want to thank retired San Luis City Fire Chief Bob Newman for his work on the project. He pretty much ran the whole program. He wrote the plan for us. We did have some community input and review. If you look at the front of the document, you'll see all those participants there, and we do appreciate their efforts. Once this plan is adopted, it will be sent forward to OES and then to FEMA for their review and adoption as well. Along with the document, however, they do request that we send a resolution.
Is that kind of a thing considered a hazardous incident or not, where some people got burned by sticking their hand near the
Obviously, if they were burned by a chemical or something that was being released, and I'm not familiar with that exact incident, we were not called or responded to an incident or a report of anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think what you're referring to were some citizens that were playing in the water and had some kind of reaction to something. Mm-hmm. And from what I understood, that wasn't tied to any certain cause. What we've seen down there in the past is that there are some people that have allergic reactions to some of the marine organisms in the water, and we've actually had anaphylactic reactions to some of the things in the water, whether it be a nematocyst from a jellyfish sting or what have you. So if there was a release of some kind of a chemical, typically the fire department would be notified as well, and we would be calling in resources from the county hazmat team and the water resources board, county health.
And this is the area we would find it filed under?
Correct, if there was a release and it was documented.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, can I have a motion approving this?
It's a public hearing. Do we need to hold? Did we have
we already
both
did.
Of them?
Yeah, there were both. Yeah.
So moved.
Did you do both? I thought you only did the safety element on the public hearing.
I was assuming it was for both, but.
Okay.
I'm good.
Let's open it again.
Okay, all right. All right, we'll open the public hearing for this. Oh, we did.
No, we do need a separate
resolution.
There is a separate resolution.
Procedurally, we need to do that separately. Okay.
I thought you broke them both up.
Would
separately.
Anyone like to speak on the hazard mitigation plan? Including the guy who pretty much wrote it. No. Okay. We'll bring it back to council. Now I will entertain
Move
a motion.
Move approval of 4606.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. All right. Now, should we go back to consent or on to new business?
Let's do consent.
Okay. Consent agenda A1, Melody. Minutes.
On A1, I apologize for not having communicated this earlier to Bridget so I could have it right in front of you, but it's on page 5 of the minutes. I would just like to have that noted. That's why I expressed my concern.
Okay. Any objection to that from the council? All right.
Then I would move approval of A1.
Second.
As amended.
As amended, thank you.
Second. As amended.
As amended, of course.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay. Then we go to A5. Betty.
My question, Mr. Schultz, was just on the back of the resolution, and you list the date as January 1st. Is when we do we not make these active as soon as we pass them? Is there a reason to wait 4 more months?
Because that's the next cycle when they would be due.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, today if we'd have to make them do it right away. Mm-hmm. We usually wait till the next cycle when everyone's due. So that was my thought process.
That I didn't get that, so thank you. I would move approval of A5 then.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay, A6, Betty.
A6 is the job descriptions. Under... Page 3 for the wastewater collection system supervisor. I noticed that the other job descriptions all had some kind of certification mentioned. This one didn't have a specific one. It just mentions comparable to a certified collection worker. So we're not requiring a particular certification here. It's not necessary. Okay. But he's the supervisor. Shouldn't he be more qualified than the guys under him?
He will have more experience and qualifications. There are no specific certifications required at this point in time. We think that's something that's going to be coming out of the WDRs. So we've made reference that they must hold the position, the certification required, the appropriate level of certification required by the state once that's established. But the job description is intended to last forever. So.
I had a question on A6 as well. I was wondering, for Mr. Hendricks, I was happy to see these job descriptions completed so quickly, and I was wondering if there are other management or mid-level descriptions that still need to be done or updated.
Yes, there are.
And what would that be?
Well, one I can think of immediately is the assistant city manager spec is not done. In that case, I don't see it as quite as critical of a problem as these, frankly, because the job...
Contracts. You mean just job description and duties?
I'm sorry, job descriptions, yeah.
From a liability standpoint, no. It certainly becomes an issue, though, regarding disciplinary and those type of issues can create an issue. So staff's working on it. Maybe an update from staff just to which ones we need to get to, and a timeline might be helpful for you to know when we can get to them.
Okay.
Would that be?
It would be. It would be nice. A timeline of some. I love by when operations, so that we get things done. I think you pulled it. So.
Then I would move approval. I would move approval of A6.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. All right. And Betty, A8.
I didn't completely understand this, Mr. Boucher. We were buying this SCADA, and we already had some money.
Correct.
And we're adding money to it.
We're requesting that, yes.
And then because we have more than that money in this fund, we can buy something else. And so what we want to do is put $70,000 toward an additional water tank, or are you saying a water tank only costs $70,000?
No, this would just be the very initial steps. Mm-hmm. The tank site is up above Nutmeg Street. Mm-hmm. It's a very visible location outside the city limits, so there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done to scope out what permitting and environmental requirements we have in a broad range of things. But in discussion with our field personnel, that's what they feel should be an elevated priority. So listening to that, and we want to get started on that.
So this $70,000 is for the initial study?
That's just to get things started, to start the negotiations with the property owner and to do the preliminary environmental work and the permitting investigations with the county.
So we're buying land to put the water tank on?
The existing tank is on leased property.
On leased property.
Yes. So we would be looking at some sort of negotiation to acquire the right to place an additional storage facility. Yes.
Question, Madam Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually going to bring this up. Considering these days how easy it can be to deal with the county, would we not also be well served to investigate annexing that land rather than trying to go through that, so at least we can go through our own permit process?
I think that
allegedly a representative from each of the departments plus the police chief, the commander, and the fire chief, and one of the things we have talked about as being a high priority for future communications, which we covered the need for communications in the safety element, would be to establish a communication site at that same location. I've had a conversation today with Mr. Ambo, who assures me that this is very, very premature to bring up. But I requested that any research we do or design up there have the idea that we would put a small structure that would handle not only whatever SCADA equipment or something that might need to be up there, but we could put a couple of racks of radio equipment up there. So my concern is that, having witnessed the City of Atascadero's efforts to deal with the County Planning Department, in their particular case, they wanted to put a tower up, and as soon as the county saw that it was a tower and visible, they decided that it had to be treated like a cell site. And they came out with a stack of papers about this thick to be filled out. And they refused to believe that public safety is not equal to a cell site. So I don't know, I don't have a lot of faith in this, but this is something I want all of us to keep in mind, that at some point we should make a decision whether or not to design and put there some sort to increase our communications capability, because we're going to need it. So I throw it out there.
Is that a future agenda item?
No, the Communications Committee has to look at it first, and
okay.
then it will be.
Can I just follow up with one more question,
sure.
Mr. Boucher? The reason we're looking to add another tank is because we have more water flowing from the state project than we can use, or we just do it as backup, or?
No, this would be the storage that we're looking at is for fire protection.
Mm-hmm.
And just to summarize, the water master plan looks at modifying the pressure zones and increasing the area served by the Nutmeg tank, which is fairly small now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking, the plan recommends a significant increase in the storage capacity, but only for fire protection.
May I ask a question to follow up on that? I noticed that in some of the other parts of the city, we have two tanks at each location, which gives us the opportunity to take one tank out of service for maintenance. Where have we ever done any maintenance on the Nutmeg tank?
We've done exterior maintenance, but we've never drained.
We've never done any interior maintenance.
We've never drained that tank.
Because I've been able to flush every time, and it works.
And actually, about a year or so.
2006-2007 State Transit Assistance Funds. Mr. Hendricks.
Yes, Madam Mayor. Staff submitted an addendum to this item suggesting that it be carried over to, I believe, the meeting in November. COG has now scheduled meetings on this and would like to be able to have their preliminary discussions before this is returned to the cities, and also know the outcome of the election with regard to the funding, so that they know what we might be discussing in terms of the allocation and the plan change. And so staff recommended that we come back with this item on November 13th, City Council meeting.
We don't think it might be helpful for them to know how we feel or not.
This was not a request from the COG. This is our own tactical suggestion to you based on the schedule of meetings that the COG established.
Okay. All right.
Madam Mayor, I move that we postpone this until the November 13th council meeting.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Well, it shortens the meeting, too. Okay, item D2, set the date for a joint City Council Planning Commission meeting.
Should we wait until we get a full...
That's what I think.
...planning commission?
The reason I agendize it is because I believe it's in our ordinances, our code, that we meet twice a year, and we won't be getting a new person until the end of January, and that's at least 5 months away, which is almost a half a year. And I think it's good to have discussion.
And I think also, for my 2 cents, it would be silly to think that somebody who would apply to be on the Planning Commission in January wouldn't be watching this meeting. It'll be publicly noticed. City Council and Planning Commission meeting together. It's all over the television. They'd hear what we have to say. And I think there are probably issues that we probably still need to grasp and clarify. And if it's part of our code, you say? I've got Monday the 30th free.
Well, my concern is that we have an election coming up. We could have new people on the council. We have a not full planning commission. And it just seems to me that we should have a meeting with the new people in the new year. I just don't see the point of doing this with not a full planning commission and people that may not even be here next year on the council.
But I'd be willing to schedule it for November. But back issue and that kind of item is coming forward. I think the subdivision ordinance is coming up. I think we need to hear some of the thinking of what the planning commission's been doing, so we understand when it comes to us what their thinking is.
Mr. Ambo, do you have any input here?
You know, I give the Planning Commission a briefing on what your activities were at your previous meeting and what's up here on your upcoming agendas, and I mentioned that the topic of the joint meeting was coming up, and I said one of the things that we'll be presenting to the council, and I think you've already noticed it, is that you've got a couple vacancies on the Planning Commission that are ready to be filled in January, and a couple others, two, I believe.
Well, two in January, but we still have 4 people on the council.
At any rate, I just mentioned that, and mm-hmm. you may want to take advantage of your other new council members, too, and The impression I got from the Planning Commission is that they seem to say, well, gee, it wasn't on as an action item on their agenda, but when I got the impression, when I gave them the idea that we were talking about the concept of a joint meeting, that they said, well, gee, it might be better to wait.
Let me use tonight's public hearing as an example. One or two meetings ago, we did not uphold a decision that they made. Mm-hmm. If we start not being on the same page, it seems to me we need to be talking. And so I think that is part of it as well. You know, if we're going against what they've decided, you know, are they going some direction that we need to know about, or are we thinking in a different way, or are they missing information that we're getting and so we overturn their decisions? I think there's all kinds of reasons to meet. We've never shied away from budget meetings. I don't know why we would shy away from planning meetings.
If I could make a comment?
Yes.
I think we should simply hold this until the first meeting in November, and at that point make a decision as to whether or not when we want to set a date, not set the date tonight.
And the reason?
The reason is we may have a new council.
I'm sorry?
We may have a new council. The first meeting in November will determine whether or not we have a new council.
Sometimes.
Or not. Well, but at that point, we can then say we'd like to have a meeting with them either in December or in January.
Well, that's right. By our first meeting in November, we should.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a couple of weeks before the results are final. That's the only thing.
You know, I got to just jump in here and say that this whole nonsense about waiting about the election and everything.
So do you have a date in December you want to have?
No, I'm making a motion that we have a joint meeting with the Planning Commission on October 30th, the City Council and the Planning Commission.
I'll second.
Okay, discussion. My only thought on this issue, as far as it not mattering, I think it can matter depending on how the election goes. We've seen this happen. The attitude changes. We saw it happen with this council when we came on. You know, we started out with a new planning commission. That's a big change. So I think that, you know, I'm not opposed to having the meeting, but with something that could change literally within a couple of months, I'm not sure that it's the best use of everyone's time. That's all.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Our selection of the Planning Commission, at least twice that I know, has been political. And call it what you will, but it's been political. You get a Planning Commission that doesn't conform to your political beliefs, you get rid of them, you get another one. And I don't know at this point what the advantage is to have it between now and, say, decide the first meeting in November. We don't have anything earth-shaking coming up. Before you jump in on that.
You do have something earth-shaking coming up.
Okay.
You do have a two-hour ethics training that you have to go under with me. I'm going to pick two dates. I'm just going to pick the dates that work best for me, and both yourself and Planning Commission have to do them. So that'll be another one. And you'll actually have three dates. You'll have two dates to do it with me, and you'll have one date to do it with our CJPIA. So you'll have three dates to do it before the end of the year with Planning Commission. So that's just another.
It's three joint meetings, but they're all focused in a
direction. You only have to meet one with me. You just have to go two once. I'm just giving you the opportunity for two dates. So that was the only thing of it.
But those would be during the day or in the evening?
Evening. I'll do evening.
Okay. And how long does that take?
Are we still on the
two
agenda
hours.
Item or my motion? Or could I call the question on the motion? That we meet on October 30th with the Planning Commission.
Can I just ask, are there any specific issues that we want to discuss?
Well, the variable height and setback, the subdivision revisions, I mean.
They forwarded the subdivision revisions, the new subdivision.
Well, to hear some of their thinking on it, to let them know, have them tell me what I should look at and appreciate and not be fussing with once it gets to council would be great.
Okay. Calling the question.
You've met with them once this year?
Mm-hmm. We have.
So the year doesn't end until December 31st, I guess would be my next one. But I guess I need to bring it back and need to know when you want. Are you just postponing this for the end of the year? And if, in fact, we do have an ordinance, we do need to comply with it. But I'm not sure what language we change to would be the first thing. And the other one was, there was a suggestion of bringing this back at the first meeting in November. Is that still an option, or do you want to wait till January?
Well, I think bring it back if it is indeed something that we have to do. It's a shall, then let us know. And we can always set the meeting for December when we've got a new council. Ta-da. Okay. Quote for tonight is by Albert Schweitzer. Example is not the main thing in influencing others. It is the only thing. We're adjourned.